resolution directing the formation of a departmental efficiency study group to begin the transformation to performance-based budgeting to link funding to measurable program outcomes.
Morning, Supervisor Sanfilippo.
Mr. Chairman, good morning. Thank you very much for scheduling this item today. We're going to pass out a little information that I'll refer to in a couple of minutes. There should be three separate handouts for everybody there. Basically, this resolution today is has the objective of returning the county back to a method of performance-based budgeting. And I say returning because as I went through my research on this issue, I discovered that the county actually had been heading towards this direction years ago. Performance-based budgeting is really an advanced method of planning and budgeting that is result-oriented. It comprises three basic elements. The first one is the result, which is the final outcome that we're looking for in a particular department. The strategy, which are the different ways employed to achieve that outcome, and then the outputs, which is actually the work that's done to achieve the final outcome. Performance-based budgeting uses statements of mission, goals, and objectives to explain why money is being spent. Part of the practice of performance-based budgeting requires that we define key performance indicators. Those indicators are then used to allocate resources to achieve the objectives based on the goals that we have set forth. The ultimate result with performance-based budgeting is greater accountability for money that's spent, and it allows us to do more with the limited resources we have. Just a quick example to show how a performance-based budgeting might work. If we take a look at BHD, we could set a result benchmark that, say, we may want to reduce inpatient capacity by 50% within 3 years. We then would develop the strategy to get to that point, which would reduce PCS visits, increase the use of private providers, things like that. We then have our outputs that we put in place, increase alternate crisis services, such as the Crisis Resource Center, enhance outpatient care sources to prevent fewer crises in the first place. The key being that performance-based budgeting really, it follows the results or it demands results as the money is being spent. And so it really is a way with the key performance indicators, they provide the tools to measure the success and then it allows you to concentrate the funding on those areas where we're achieving success and either improve or eliminate the areas where we're not having success. As I mentioned before, Milwaukee County actually began moving towards performance-based budgeting back in 1997. It was advanced by County Board Chairwoman at the time, Karen Ordnance. And the plan was to have the performance-based budgeting fully implemented with the 2004 budget. The one of the handouts I gave you, let's see here, shows that a long-range strategic plan steering committee was formed in 1998, which was the precursor to Supervisor Jurczyk's committee today, and they were concentrating at the time primarily on this performance-based budgeting issue. Supervisor Jurczyk's present committee has a much bigger pot that they're working with right now. But this committee was formed in 1997. In 1998, the committee was formed. In 1999, the county adopted a document that was called Charting the Course. And this County Board Resolution 99-494, I gave you all a copy of it, just shows or outlines what was involved with that. And I didn't make a copy of the Charting the Course document. I do have one here, and it's quite lengthy, so I didn't bother to hand it out to everybody. In 2000, the county began training staff and policymakers. And that continued on, all with the goal of getting to the 2004 budget to be based on performance-based budgeting. In 2001, the Department of Audit issued their first annual report, and I did give everybody a copy of that one. That's this larger document here. And that was just outlining the work that had been done to date at that point, and made some mention or some recommendations of what had to be done in the future to continue forward. And it's interesting to note on page 4 in that document, it's recorded that in a February 2002 issue of Governing Magazine, they had graded 40 counties in several categories, and Milwaukee County was awarded a grade of B in managing for results. And that was due because of this implementation process going towards performance-based budgeting. In 2002, oops, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. The report here was issued in 2002. If you look then, page 12 indicates that we were moving ahead on plan and on target to get to 2004, and then we had the financial crisis took place, partly due to the pension debacle that took place back then and some other reasons. And while our performance-based budgeting move was in full swing at the end of 2001, by the end of 2002, it had kind of fallen apart. And so from there, we kind of lost ground. And once that financial crisis hit, the county at that point kind of slipped from a proactive budget management process to a reactive crisis management process, pretty much where we've been ever since today. And the following page on 13 just makes a notation in their audit that, you know, had the county have progressed further along the schedule of implementation outlined in charting the course, the initial blueprints for the process of prioritizing significant budget cuts may already have been outlined. So basically what they're saying is sticking with performance-based budgeting would have done more help than harm to get us through the financial crisis that we're seeing today. Unfortunately, for a variety of reasons, the whole idea was dropped. So what I'm proposing is that, before I get a little farther, the other handout I gave you was just a page out of the 2001 adopted budget. And you can see on this was the very first year that the county started placing the performance measurements that were going to be used to gather the detail and form to begin getting the information needed to form the performance-based budget in 2004. And on this page, it clearly lists, you know, the mission of the department, which we see on our budgets to this day. But then it mentions outcomes, and then it talks about objectives. And then the next flow in this process would be the key performance indicators that are the measurement tools to see how each department is measuring up to their objectives. And that, again, was to be done on an annual basis with this 2002 report being the very first one. So the resolution that I'm putting forward today says that the county should try to get back to being proactive in our management of our budgets and try to get away from crisis management, which in today's day and age is not easy to do. Moving back to a performance-based budgeting practice is going to be a very big task. I don't want to try to delude anybody into thinking this is an easy process. This is a big process. And so I think it's important that we take a look or we have staff take a look at what would be needed to kind of pick up where we left off with this back almost 10 years ago now, and continue to move the process forward. And I think it's important for a couple of key reasons, first of which, it is important for us now in light of the pending issues that we're going to be facing with decreased revenue. Our tax revenue is not going to increase very much. Our state aids are decreasing. That we really start taking a look at all the money that we're spending through all of our departments, and performance-based budgeting helps us react a little bit quicker. Now, we can put, on the hindsight, we can put committees in place to study how departments are operating, but by doing a performance-based budgeting process, you actually speed up the cures that you need once a problem is developed, because everything is handled through the budget process. It allows you to allocate your dollars more wisely. As part of this resolution, along with working to go back to performance-based budgeting, I have in there these formation of study groups. And the study groups are, number one, to get department people involved in the performance-based budgeting process. The first step you would do would be to outline your objectives and then to come up with the key performance indicators. But really the best people to help work with us on how to achieve efficiencies of the day-to-day operations we do are actually the people that provide the services ourselves, themselves. So it's important to have policy makers and staff and management involved, but it's just as important to have the actual people right there on the front line performing the duty day in and day out. They can teach us a lot of ideas on what they think they need, or the tools they need, and the processes that could be changed to help make their jobs more efficiently. The other objective for forming these study groups has to do with the changes that are likely going to be occurring as a result of the budget repair bill, which will be changes to collective bargaining in the way that our employees, the relationship the county has between the management staff and its employees. And by bringing on these study groups, I believe would help in being able to raise a comfort level between employees and management as to going forward what they can expect with these changes. We have civil service protections that are in place. They obviously will remain in place. We may find areas through these study groups where we see enhancements may need to be made. And it's important going forward, I think, for our employees to know, because this is uncertain times with changing, for our employees to know that we intend to continue to make this a good working atmosphere for them, that we respect their work and we want them involved, and we don't want to see any situations arise where they feel they don't have as much protection going forward as they would have had under past or current bargaining practices. So, again, this is a very lengthy process. It's something that's not going to be done overnight. I think that if we move forward with this idea and these study groups are put together, the first thing that they could work on would be the employee relations side of it that's included in this resolution. That's something that could have some immediate effect. Working together with these groups and going through the personnel committee to review the policies and procedures that are in place. There's no doubt we're going to have to strengthen some areas and do some changing. And then to try to get back to a performance-based budget, you know, we have a date in here of 2013. That may be a little aggressive considering the staff situation we have right now. There's vacancies in departments that may make this a little bit more difficult. This is a highly labor-intensive undertaking to get started and off the ground. We have the advantage of having some of the groundwork done already. The first time they enacted this, they had about a four-year time frame for implementation. I have 2 years in here. That's not set in stone. That's something that can be open for discussion. But again, I do believe that it's in the best interest of the county to be able to move back into a more detail-oriented budget process.
Any questions from the committee? Supervisor Smith?
Well, Supervisor Sanford, but I had a pretty good conversation about this the other day, and I think what the points that I was making and the supervisor is making, too, that is that this is a very labor-intensive and I think we agreed, and we did do this, like you've mentioned, 2001, 2002, and there's always fires to be put out, unfortunately, but we have to get a plan. I mean, and the Finance Committee, we'd love something like this to be able to look at and be able to measure. And we've asked in previous budgets the last few years for more clarity and more goal setting, and we get half of it, and then we got to figure it out, and it's because it's changed a lot. So this would make our day, I think, as trying to be a Finance Committee and budgeting. The quick analogy I'm going to make is the Ceridian process. I see Mr. Pillai in the audience here. And when I was personnel chair a few years ago, we started off in the Ceridian process. It dragged on for a year, and then we kind of got upset about it. And I think, not I'm clairvoyant, but we understand, we kind of realized unless you make something a priority, it's never going to happen. And we said, as a committee, and I did as a chair, I really pushed hard on this. They said, you got to hire someone to run this. You got to give people time off. The county executive has to buy into this process big time. And when Mr. Pillai came on, and the county executive said, yes, this is a priority, and departments have to cooperate, and we are going to go to Ceridian. That took another year, of course, but we finally did it. So as you will understand, government isn't situated to move very quickly. I mean, we're supposed to make decisions, wise decisions. Founding fathers always said it was going to take time to do it. So that way we got two branches and checks and three branches and checks and balances, okay? But the analogy being, and I think you're very astute to understand that this is a labor-intensive process. This takes a terrific buy-in from both branches to work. And it would have to be prioritized by the county executive and DAS because it means a priority of time from department heads. It needs a real commitment. And even these study groups, I mean, these are much easier said than done. They really have to have special time. It's got to be put in their schedules. It has to be a master plan from, like I said, the county executive and from the county board. The county board chair has to certainly buy into this too because staff then has to be given the time to work on this. So this is a plan that probably everybody needs to do. Okay, business has certainly done this. We have an example. We have some roadmap. We have the Ceridian process. We kind of know what it takes. Mr. Abel will have to be brought up to speed, obviously, on many of these things. And so it's obviously, and I think we understand, we talked about this too, that something we should be looking at. I'm going to make a motion, Mr. Chair, that we send this to the county executive's office. He obviously needs to look at this very closely and needs to make this part of the process. But, you know, you're well aware, you made in your comments to Supervisor Sanfilippo, and thank you for them, that county government's never been an easy place to be because of the things that happened. We've been the whipping boys for the reasons for a long time. With the uncertainty in labor negotiations and our plans, we've had a lot of retirements. We lost Mr. Krecklow, we lost Mr. Ruggini, okay? We've lost a lot of institutional knowledge in some of our most important areas here, and now we have a whole new county executive and a whole new people coming in. We presume that that'll be a process that'll happen quickly. But, and this is going to have to look for the future. So, besides referring it to the county executive, I want to refer it to our staff, of course, too. Mr. K, maybe you could help me if I need to do something more than that. But and it's a process we're going to have to buy into and talk about because otherwise, why so many reports sit on the shelf, behavioral health ones did for a long time too, we're moving in a different direction there, we're getting some positive going on, is that it has to be prioritized. It certainly has to be bought in by the county executive and certainly has to be bought in by the board because a real priority of time has to be given to these kinds of things if they're going to become something we're going to follow. So, thank you.
Supervisor Jersey.
Thank you. Supervisor Sanfilippo asked if I wanted to co-sponsor his resolution, at which time I responded that the current strategic planning committee actually considered performance-based budgeting. And let me just start off by saying it is a good model. And as Supervisor Schmidt pointed out, the county spent a lot of time trying to do this in 2002, including, and I've talked to Linda Bruin, I've talked to former Supervisor Linda Ryan, who was very involved with it, and I was impressed by the amount of time that people spent. I mean, they had the entire board involved in this. There were tremendous amount of hours spent studying it. It was just about put into place when pension crisis happened. But I guess the question that is being begged to be asked right now, I think, is why didn't the Strategic Planning Committee go down that road? And in numerous meetings with Steve Krecklow and others, I think one of the things that this business model presupposes is a system that is at least predictable in order to set the goals and work on the performance. And the county has found itself, at least for the last 5 years or more, in a situation in which we are in a very dynamic situation where our finances are not stable. And I'm not just talking about things like GAMP. OPEB. GAMP I'll get to in a minute. The unfunded health care benefits, for example, which are such a big piece of the structural deficit. I think assumptions were made over the years that we would pay as you go for the retiree health insurance. And those assumptions, and I'm not going to criticize prior boards, but those assumptions were made within an environment that they presupposed the normal growth that they had seen with the county in its healthier days were going to continue. That has not happened. We are in the worst recession since the Great Depression. And we are now in a situation where we are dealing with terrible forces that we really have no control over. And I really don't know how you could do a model like this in that kind of environment. And the current strategic planning committee, I think, made the decision to go in a direction of trying to find the most immediate way of dealing with the structural deficit, to try to get us to a point where we'd be healthy enough to then go down what is a very good business model. And I'm not suggesting that this shouldn't be looked at if we ever get to the plateau where we can say the county is on healthy footing. But we're not. The Strategic Planning Committee, therefore, chose four major areas. Employee benefits. We are still working on that one. I was waiting for this, the new unicast. It's taken about, four months to get this. I've had several meetings, and it was just, first of all, we don't have the employees right now to help us with some of these issues. We are really lacking the capacity to do much with our employees. I respect that. I don't think our employees were not trying to help us with this. They were trying to help us with it. It required outside computer expertise, which we got, and we had a little hiccup there because the fellow had some health problems within his family, but we finally got it. I guess the point I'm trying to make is we are in a situation where we are going to have to deal in a fairly quick way with some substantial deficits. The Strategic Planning Committee has chosen four areas. Employee benefits, you mentioned starting with HR. In a way that Employee Benefits Work Group is doing exactly that. And we actually made changes within the county before the state started requiring those changes to be made. We've already done it, and that's going to punish us next budget because we don't have the tools. They're already in place within our budget to now deal with the reduction in shared revenues. We're going to get another reduction in shared revenues without the tools to deal with it. So that's one. The facilities piece we've done, finally, we at least have got that started to try to understand where we can start selling off assets, if you will, consolidating assets, et cetera. The third piece is behavioral health. That's a big piece of our budget. Thanks to Jerry Lydane and Supervisor West, we are working together on getting that piece. That will only be successful, however, if the state doesn't do to us what the state is now talking about. That is gut GAMP, gut Medicaid, take all those safety nets away, and where's all of that going to get thrown when we have a crisis in the community? Your health departments and your police departments are going to bring those people through the protective placement in behavioral health, and they're going to end up in our mental health hospitals when there's a crisis. So that's more shifting sand on the horizon. And then the other piece was the how to save the non-mandated services of transit and parks. And Supervisor, I don't know if you want me to get started with transit. We are going to be in dire straits with saving our transit system. So you've got all of that going on. And yes, this would be a wonderful plan. Can we institute it without stability in our funding sources? This is not a business. This is a government. And we have to decide now
in Forest County and the state, what we're going to be able to fund for safety net services. Are we going to be able to save our parks? Those cultural assets, and I just talked to the museum about that one, our transit system, and still do an idea like the performance-based budget. If we can get to a healthy place, I agree with you, this would probably be a good thing to do. I don't think we're in a healthy place. We're in a crisis situation. And I think we have got to work first on the crisis. I'm going to keep plugging away the strategic planning because I think we've got a good plan. And I agree with Supervisor Schmidt. We should probably be having our county exec say whether he wants to get on board with this. But, you know, it would be nice, Supervisor, if you would cooperate with committees that are already working on some of these things instead of constantly bringing ideas out of the box and present it as if it were a quote new idea. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
If I can make a couple comments, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
It is critical and essential that the county executive and the executive branch buy into this. There's no doubt about it. That's really what led to this falling apart the first time it went around, because the staff here was dedicated and committed, and the policymakers at the time, to having this go forward. But as the report, or as the audit mentions, the fact that it was dropped and didn't go forward probably made this board's life a little more difficult in trying to deal with those situations. And Supervisor, for all of the reasons you mentioned, and you're 100% correct, I don't disagree with you, but for all the reasons you mentioned is exactly why we should be looking at this right now. Because we're short of money, because we are going to have to make decisions, what do we keep moving forward with, what do we stop funding? By implementing performance-based budgeting, it allows you to look at every dollar you spend and say, okay, let's not cut this program because we're getting a great return for our investment here on this program, but we know we have to make a cut, so let's cut this program over here where it's not meeting up to its key performance indicators continually, and there are problems with that program, and it helps you better reallocate your resources. So I actually think this is an opportune time to go back to looking at something in depth like this. This also will be a tool to help us get on a more stable financial footing. You're right, I don't consider we're on stable financial footing, and we've been discussing this since I joined the board. But in order to get to a stable financial footing, while you're looking at what your revenues are coming in the front door and how you deal with that change, if you don't watch at how your money is going out the back door, it doesn't matter what comes in the front door. We could triple our tax revenue right now today, but if we let it go away willy-nilly and don't pay attention to how we're spending it, then you're just creating this monster that just keeps chewing up more and more and more. So I think that performance-based budgeting actually is a very good tool, one of the necessary tools to achieve exactly what you're looking for, is to get us to that stability. And again, as far as unpredictability, I think you mentioned that too, that we don't know what's happening right now. Rarely in the business world, and even in government nowadays for that matter, can you say that anything is predictable. A business puts its budget together based on X amount of sales, and then I'll use my own business, for example. I had a landscaping business. I do my budget every year. I figure I'm going to do X amount of sales. Then all of a sudden we have 6 weeks of rain in the spring and we get started 6 weeks of work later than I planned. I can just throw that budget out the window that I spent all winter working on, okay? But when you have these performance indicators and these measurement tools in place, it allows you to more rapidly adjust to the unpredictability that you're experiencing. And nothing, the only thing that's predictable in the business world is unpredictability. And whereas government, to a certain extent in the past, was kind of insulated from that, we're no longer insulated from it for the variety of reasons you brought up. OPEB costs, rising health care costs, pension, debt payments, and then shrinking revenue. This economy is hurting not only the private sector, it's hurting every government body as well. And our revenue is shrinking and only going to continue to shrink. So again, I don't disagree with anything you said, but I think that that is all the more reason that why we need to take a look at this. And so yes, it's something that is very labor intensive. My plan would be hopefully to be able to get to sit down with the new county executive and to discuss this situation, and then also to get input from both staffs, because I don't have all the answers. I don't proclaim that to be a genius to be able to solve all the problems. I'm not trying to be uncooperative with anybody else, but I think it is vastly important that when any of us on this board or any staff member or any employee in this government has an idea to try to make things better, that it's incumbent upon that person to bring that idea forward. And that's why we bring things out, we discuss them, and then we collectively agree on them. And by asking to get some input at this point, in this juncture, by the way, when we do have new administration coming in at the executive level, now is the time to start considering it so that we can start looking at some long-term plans. And so I do think now is the time, right, to at least start looking at this proposal.
Well, two things. First of all, I want to challenge that statement that money's going willy-nilly out the door on the other end, because it's not. I mean, I've been sitting here looking for that waste so we can capture that pile of money and apply it properly, and I haven't found it. The other piece is we don't operate like a business. You are one of 19 people. I could get frustrated as well, because I've been self-employed, working in a small office, and you're constantly aware of the bottom line. And as an attorney, sometimes you have to, if you need something, you go to the photocopy machine yourself and do it, because you may not have staff there at that point, and you need to get things done. So small businesses can be very quick on their feet, if you will, and do things and adjust. This is a large government. This large government works with three branches. And I find if we don't work together in committees and cooperate, you're not going to get anything done. I mean, the current strategic planning committee is just barely, getting the information that we need so we can try to do the next meeting. And I find it's partly because we have so obliterated our planning staff around here. We no longer have the capacity to get information we need to even make those decisions. This process that you're talking about, and I can tell you, I have this whole thing out in my strategic planning folder, talked about it at some length, heard about all of the efforts that went into it, and I too concluded, as did you, that this is a good thing. And if we get ourselves to that healthy place where we can start relying on a given set of revenues in the future, and given set of employees that we know are going to be here from day to day, and the fact that we can maybe bring in some outside consultants to help us, because I agree with Supervisor Schmidt, this is labor intensive. When we get there, then we should do this. But I guess what I object to is the suggestion that we aren't all trying to think out of the box to find the best way to make government run. And this isn't like a business. This is not like a business to run a government. We have too many outside pressures that have to go through committees, and maybe we need to be lighter on our feet. That's fine. But government does not work like a business, and when there is a crisis, we have to deal with the crisis, even if we have to leave all of this other stuff go and deal with it. And that's pretty much where we've been for the last 5 years, dealing with crisis. So I won't say any more. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor West.
I was just, I had a question in regards to the referral to the county executive.
Yes.
I think I've never heard that referral before, and we left DAS out of it.
So I didn't leave DAS, I said our staff too. DAS.
Okay. So I was just wondering about the appropriateness of the referral and whether it should be, I'm assuming, at least, when we hit, when we refer things to DAS, that the county executive is then brought up to speed on that because you're his staff. And so if we make the referral to the county executive, does it go to DAS? That's my question.
Mr. Chairman, I think it would be appropriate if you would like to allow time for the new administration that hasn't been seated yet to a chance to review it. You could lay it over. You could refer it to DAS. You could refer it to county board staff. We'd be happy to try and give you information about the type of resources that you might need. But going a step further, really, it's going to require a lot of input from departmental staff. They're the ones that are going to be doing a lot of this work. And anybody who was here prior, they know how many thousands of staff hours went into that process, including hundreds of thousands of dollars and other monies that were expended as well to get us to that point where we weren't quite there yet, but we were moving towards that direction. So it certainly will require a canvassing of departments, too, as well, and to find out if those departments still have the resources necessary, as we talked about, with the exodus of quite a few people here, and whether they're even staffed up to take on such an exercise. But further than that, and we need to also have a chance for the constitutional officers to weigh in, because so many of those oversee large areas of the county. We're going to need their buy-in as well. So, yes, I think it is appropriate to refer it to county board staff or Department of Administrative Services staff, and I think we can start that process of soliciting that information so that you can have that moving forward.
Supervisor Smith, are you open to a friendly amendment?
I certainly am, and that really was my intent. Thank you for all. And I would just say, though, that who will have to give the marching orders to the departments will be the county exec, and I guess that's the emphasis I wanted to make, that he would have to buy into it, because the department heads themselves, unless it's prioritized and then they're given a game plan and a time that this has to be done, it's not going to happen in my experience anyway. So,
okay. Supervisor West, you saw the floor.
You know what?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the referral. At least it'll give staff, Department of Administrative Services, the time to look at performance-based budgeting, how it works and what it's all about. I apologize for not being able to get into my car door so I could get here early. But nevertheless, it's probably been said that we had, through the strategic planning process, we did have departments come to the county board year after year with respect to their goals and outcomes, and it got to the point where it was just an exercise. It's not as if any measurable measures were presented. They're basically just goals, and if they met whatever those broad goals were, fine. If not, then they come up with something else and still try to meet those goals. So I believe that at least taking a look at it, having analysis that would be presented by our staff and the Department of Administrative Services staff and anybody else who would weigh in would be helpful for us. Because keep in mind that with respect to personnel, we don't have the personnel we had 7, 8, 10 years ago. We have, in some cases, about a minimum staff, number of people who are able to do the work that is required of them. And even for those persons, sometimes just overtime, sometimes just they're stretched thin as it were. So I appreciate the referral. I appreciate a first look, taking a look at your resolution, at least what calls for your resolution, and then going from there. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We have one speaker on item number 3, and that's Patty Young.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I just have a few comments that I would like to make on this. First of all, I think the nicest thing I can say about it is that it's one of the most misguided initiatives I've heard about in some time. And the reason that I say that is because all I could think about was this is another Paul Ryan approach to handling a fiscal deficit. Yesterday, we literally sat through Health and Human Needs for 4 hours listening to department upon department come up here and tell us the impact of the proposed Walker budget on programs in Milwaukee County. And in each instance, whether it was the Department of Social Services, whether it was the Behavioral Health Division, was it the Family Care, basically every single department head that came up here basically said, you know, we don't have any control. Our programs are going to be decimated. Family care, while we're, you know, telling people to go down this road of spend down or utilizing their services, we're now told that, you know, we're going to have a cap on the number of people we can get in here. So when you have those factors in play, how you would even possibly be able to make some sort of intelligent decision on what measurements or performance you should even be measuring? I don't think that anyone does not believe that there needs to be government accountability. I disagree with whether or not we have it right now. I think we have a lot of accountability to the extent that we control that bottom line in Milwaukee County. But the other piece comes at what are you, you know, how are you going to define accountability? How are you going to define performance? I don't necessarily think that a, you know, performance goal should be, you know, a reduction of 50% in patients at BHD, because frankly there's a number of variables and factors that we don't control. We're the only safety net that this community has. And I could not agree more that government is not a business. It wasn't designed to be a business. It was designed to be a procedure by which the citizenry was provided representation and in which they got services and their needs met as a society. I mean, I am going through this and I'm thinking to myself, you know, we aren't dealing with plants. We aren't dealing with, you know, we don't control the front door, let alone the back door. And I guess I just am so frustrated personally, because we all try to have these like nice buzzwords and these nice, you know, sounding proposals when we're, you know, behind the eight ball, when the reality is that this state budget is going to decimate Milwaukee County. We've talked for years about how many times the state has imposed mandates on us without funding it. Those don't go away in this. So it just seems to me that what we ought to be doing and directing our energies to is, you know, forming a committee as to how we might strategically try to influence what's happening at the state budget, because that's what's really going to drive this budget in Milwaukee County. And I guess I would like to say that, at least for my sake, I don't take the assumption that the revenue is going to continue to shrink forever. I guess I like to be optimistic that at some point we're going to have some sort of sane and rational taxation system in this state and in this country. So I'm not going to make assumptions based on solely what we have in play right now. So thank you for the latitude in expressing this, I guess. I just feel that it's, you know, very misdirected and guided at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Young. Any questions, comments from the committee? Seeing none, we have motion by Supervisor Smith, refer to staff, Das, and the new county executive. Seeing no further questions, Madam Clerk.
On the motion, Supervisor Schmidt?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
West?
Aye.
Jersey?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
Motion approved, 5-0.
Mr. Chairman?
Supervisor Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to vote in the affirmative for item number 2, assuming that I'm asking for unanimous consent to do so. And I'm not sure if for item number 2, and I'm not sure if there was any action for item number 1.
There was
none. There was none.
Thank you very much.
Okay, any objections? Seeing none. Madam Clerk, will you read item number 4, please?